Our first scripture reading this morning was from the Gospel of Matthew, and it was on the theme of prayer, and we continue now just a chapter later in the Gospel of Matthew in the same topic as Jesus tells his disciples, "Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are the potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, anytime my family gets together for Thanksgiving or Christmas or any big celebration, we have a little bit of a tradition that takes place. My brother-in-law, who is a professional chef, he was trained in France. He's worked at five-star restaurants his entire career. Well, he volunteers to cook the entire meal for our family. And I volunteer to pray for it. It starts around 9 o'clock in the morning when Albert will go into the kitchen. He'll begin to prep all of his dishes. He'll work with meats and cheeses I've never even heard of before. He'll stay in there for the better part of 6 hours. Meanwhile, I'm in the living room watching football, or the Westminster Dog Show, or sometimes the Hallmark Channel. Around 3 o'clock, the family will gather around the table, and we'll all join hands, and well, that is my moment to shine. And so in the most reverent voice I have, I say, "Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this food. Amen." Now, it is a pretty sweet deal. Somehow in my family, 6 hours of back-breaking labor in the kitchen is the equivalent to 10 seconds of public prayer. I was telling a woman that story once, and she said to me, "You know, David, I don't blame your brother-in-law one bit." She said, "If I had the option, I would much rather be in the kitchen as well than having to pray out loud." And it's true. For as commonplace as prayer is in the Christian tradition, it can still be one of the most uncomfortable things any of us have to do. Anytime we have to choose words to speak directly to God, it can feel awkward, even forced. Deep down, when we all pray, we're all left with that haunting question that follows each of us. That question, are we doing this right? Maybe that's why in the Gospel of Luke, the only thing the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach them was how to pray. In Luke's Gospel, the disciples never asked Jesus to teach them how to walk on water. They didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to raise the dead. Instead, they said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus responded by saying, "When you pray, pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, on its surface, this prayer Jesus teaches the disciples, it seems rather docile and gentle. After all, it's the type of prayer we teach to children at Vacation Bible School. It's the type of prayer you get cross-stitched on a throw pillow. The first time you say the Lord's Prayer, it seems so innocent and unassuming. But listen again. Listen again to the words Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, and you'll see that they are anything but innocent. Jesus said to his disciples, when you pray, pray in this way. Say to God, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and do not lead us into the time of trial. These are bold. These are imperative statements the disciples are making. You can even make an argument. They're kind of a little bit rude. I mean, let me ask you. How do you think your mother would respond if you went up to her one day and said, all right, Mom, I want you to give me some bread. And after you're done with that, Mom, I want you to go ahead and just forget about all those mistakes. You remember when I wrecked the car? Don't worry about that anymore. How do you think she would respond to that kind of request? And yet that's exactly the way Jesus teaches his disciples to talk to God. There's no deferential language in the Lord's Prayer. There's no, Lord, if you have time, I could really use some bread in the Lord's Prayer. As far as I can tell, Jesus never says please or thank you in the Lord's Prayer. Instead, he says, when you pray, pray in this way. Say, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Make no mistake about it. This is a bold and an audacious prayer. And in it, Jesus refuses to apologize for asking God for his daily needs. I know of a pastor who went to visit a church member in the hospital. The church member was facing a rather serious surgery that was going to, it was going to involve many months of recovery. Before she went back for surgery, the pastor asked if he could have a prayer with her. And he began by saying to her, I want you to know I'm going to pray for you now. But when I pray for you, I want to tell you, I'm not going to pray that God would move your mountain. Instead, he said, I'm going to pray that God gives you the strength to climb over it. The woman paused and smiled and said, thank you. She said, I do appreciate your prayers. But she said, if it's okay with you, I think I prefer for you to pray that God actually does move the mountain. Because I don't really want to climb it. You know, perhaps one of the biggest challenges we have in prayer is not that we expect too much from prayer. Maybe an even larger challenge is that we anticipate too little. Maybe if we're honest with ourselves, our prayers, they just aren't bold enough. After all, for some reason, we stopped asking God to move mountains. For some reason, we stopped asking God to do the impossible, and instead, we settle for so much less. Maybe we think we're protecting God by trying to make our prayer requests reasonable. Or maybe we just don't want to be disappointed, and so we stopped asking for big things altogether. But Jesus didn't teach his disciples to pray in that way. He didn't teach them to pray with a spirit of timidity. Instead, he taught them to pray with boldness and to cling to the promises of God, because that is what prayer is. Prayer is that moment, that holy moment when we boldly and we unapologetically ask God to fulfill the promises God has already made to us. Because you see, God has made you promises. There are over 5,000 promises God has made you in the Scriptures. And prayer is the time when we take God up on those promises. What promises has God made? Well, God has said to you that the worst thing that happens in your life will never be the last thing. God has promised you that weeping, it may last for the night, but joy, it will come in the morning. God has promised you he will give you strength for today and hope for tomorrow. God has promised you he will give you your daily bread, exactly what you need for today. See, when we pray, we don't pray the problems of our life. We don't tell God everything that has gone wrong in our life. When we pray the promises of God. And we do it without fear, and we do it without apology. Because we know God will keep God's promises. No, prayer isn't magic. It's not wishing upon a star. It's not throwing a coin into a fountain. It's a relationship of trust, where we entrust our future to God because we know with God, all things are possible. I'll close with a story. It's a legend, really, of a small Catholic church called the Laredo Chapel. It's located out in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Now, it was constructed in the late 19th century, and while it has a beautiful sanctuary with stained glass windows and a well-adorned altar, the most magnificent piece of the chapel is its balcony. Now, a choir loft, it stands 22 feet above the sanctuary floor. Now, when the church was completed in 1878, there was no way to access the balcony. You see, the architect had not left enough space for a staircase to be built. The church leaders were troubled. They called in carpenters from the community to try and consult with them to come up with a solution. But everyone said the same thing. It was impossible. There was not enough room. It could not be reached. Well, the story goes, when met with this impossible situation, the Sisters of Laredo, the nuns who lived in the community, started to pray. They prayed that God would make a way. They prayed for 9 consecutive days, in fact. These women knew that God had called them to start this church. They knew that God had a plan for this church. They clung to that promise that God had a future for this church. Day after day, they showed up. Day after day, they offered prayers. And on the 9th day, a man appeared. A carpenter from a neighboring town. Now, no one knows who this man was. Some people say he was Mexican. Others say he was French. But for 8 months, he worked painstakingly, with patience and uncanny skill. And he completed a masterpiece. It was a spiral staircase with 2 360-degree turns in it. Now, the man used no nails to complete the staircase. Instead, it was held together only with wooden pegs and glue. But no one knew for sure exactly how the staircase supported itself because no one had ever seen anything like it before. To construct something like this today would be, well, it would be quite an accomplishment, but to do it in the 19th century, that's unspeakable. And just as quickly as the man came, he left. He never received any payment for his work or recognition. He just, well, disappeared. Now, is this staircase a miracle? I don't know. I really don't. I just know that a bunch of nuns prayed for 9 days hoping that God would respond, and well, someone showed up. And a way was made where no way had been before. An archbishop by the name of William Temple once famously said this: "All I know is when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I stop praying, they stop happening." So may you pray with boldness as you cling to the promises of God, because you know God can be trusted. May you pray with courage, trusting that God will give you exactly what you need to make it through today. May you pray with hope, knowing indeed there's a carpenter out there who specializes in impossible situations. And with this carpenter, well, with this carpenter, all things are possible. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Loving God, once there was no way, and you have made a way. Once we were without hope, and you have given us new life. We pray, Lord, for the courage to enter into that blessed relationship that is prayer. Those moments when we remember your promises, we cling to them, knowing that indeed you are good, indeed you can be trusted. Loving God, when we don't have the words, we pray that you would speak to us, speak through us, and remind us that indeed you are here. God, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, the one who lived our life and died our death and rose again for our sake. Amen.